Patricia Camilleri, Director of the Communications and Alumni Relations Office here at the University. In this series called Research Matters, I shall be discussing a wide range of research projects in which our academics are currently involved. With me in the studio is Dr. Doreen Spiteri from the Department of Arts and Languages in Education here at the University. But today she's with us to talk about a project called LANQUA, the usual acronym, I suppose, of the European Union. It's a language network for quality assurance. Welcome, Dr. Spiteri.
Hello.
So this project has been going for some time. At what stage are we?
It's a three-year project. It started off in October 2007 and will conclude by September 2010. We've just gone past the first year stage. We've concluded the project for this year, and there's a project for each of the remaining 2 years.
How is it created?
Well, I suppose then we'd have to talk about the people who are coordinating the project, the people behind it. Actually, I got to know this group of people indirectly because some years ago, colleagues of mine were involved in a European project, and there was a meeting coming up which they could not attend, and they asked me to substitute, which I did. The meeting took place at the University of Southampton, and I went there. We had a very fruitful 2 days, and that was it. About a year and a half ago, I was contacted by the same people who said, you know, we're going to embark on a fresh project. Would you be interested in joining? And because I know that in the past they've coordinated interesting stuff, and they've also come up with some useful publications, like, for instance, a European profile for language teacher education, this convinced me that this could be a project that would be of benefit.
They were worth dealing with, people working yes. seriously.
Yes, because the documents they've produced are useful, are interesting, and you know this new project also promises to produce something along those lines.
What was the project going to be? How did they sort of introduce the project?
At the basis of the project is languages. The motivation for the project comes from the fact that the area of languages is a key strategic area for the future of Europe. The importance of language learning has been well established. The European policy sees the importance of effective education of language teachers. Along these lines, they said, right, let's take this forward. Let's take this focus on language forward. And we're going to embark on a project which will seek to assure quality in a range of issues relating to language.
You're dealing with this on a sort of country basis. How are you looking at language at a European level, looking at how the countries project their language learning?
Let's describe the project and how it's organized. Well, first of all, the project falls under the lifelong learning program of the Commission of the European Communities. So there's this lifelong learning program, and within the lifelong learning program, there are 4 sub-programs, which most people, I think, have heard about. There's the Comenius program, which is mostly concerned with schools. There's the Erasmus program, which concerns itself with matters having to do with higher education. There's the Leonardo da Vinci, generally that has to do with vocational education and training. And there's the Grundtvig, which is dedicated to matters relating to adult education. This project that I'm involved in as a partner representing the University of Malta, it falls under the Erasmus one. Within Erasmus, there are various foci, and one of them is language teaching, and the spread of languages, because clearly language is a big issue in Europe related to mobility. And apparently the feeling is that the importance of languages have been recognized by the industry, but less so apparently in higher education. That's the feeling, and that's part of the reason why this project came about. You mentioned the name being an acronym. Yes, LANQUA stands for LAN, the language network, and QUA stands for quality assurance. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to produce a reference document which covers a number of areas. And maybe at this stage I can talk about what the various areas are. The subgroups for this project are 5. There are people working on intercultural communication. There's another group working on language teacher education. The third is working on content language integrated learning. A fourth group focuses on literature and culture. And the fifth group is working on language learning. So these 5 groups all make up this project called LANQUA.
So they're all different aspects of the same aim.
What the coordinators have done, they've said, right, we're interested in languages. This is the work that's been done so far. Let's produce a document which assures quality in these areas.
And which of the sub-areas were you particularly involved in?
Right, I'm involved in the second one, language teacher education, also by virtue of the fact that I come from a language teacher education faculty, and that is what I do. I'm a language teacher educator. The people involved are come from many countries, in fact, because the project brings together 63 partners from 31 countries. What I suppose could be considered as a weakness in projects like this is that they depend on people coming forward to join the project. After coming forward, they then separate out into the different subgroups. So there might be situations where the various groups do not represent very many countries in Europe. This project hasn't suffered very much from that, because each of the subgroups has a very healthy representation, and that makes for a stronger document when it is finally made public.
So quite a number of partners working in each of the different areas.
That's right.
These would be higher education institutions around Europe?
Very much so, yes. They might not all be higher education, institutes of higher education, but they will be institutes that offer language teaching and learning in some form or another.
And the particular content of what you were doing, what were you discussing? Did you have seminars where you met together? Did you do individual work back home on your own and then come together? How did it actually sort of logistically work?
Well, there was the launch that took place in Riga in Latvia earlier this year. That was in April. That's when all the people involved got together in one place and the project was explained to everybody so that everybody would know what the other subgroups were doing and where it was all leading to. After that, it was the subgroups meeting on their own, making their own arrangements. So from one huge plenary, as it were, we were split up into five subgroups, and each of the subgroups made its own arrangements to meet later that year. Our subgroup, for instance, met in June in Amsterdam, and we had a two-day meeting in which we picked up the brief that was given to us earlier in April in Riga, and we started working on that. But really, that was mainly an opportunity to discuss and map out what we were going to do, because then the work had to be done back home in our countries.
That's an interesting point, because the survey work or whatever work, research work that you were asked to do, then sort of has to be done at home. That's quite a task, I would imagine, for any busy academic to actually be doing sort of extra work from their from their home base.
But, you know, it's par for the course. It's what academics do. Yeah, well, the work we had to do for this particular, for the first year of the project was that each of us representing our countries, we had to map out the situation regarding teacher education programs. So we looked at five areas mainly. We each found out in our countries how language teacher education is defined, whether it is defined after all, and what subjects are included within teacher education programs, whether this is all set out publicly for people to see. A second area was to focus on delivery. So each of us, representing our universities, our countries, we had to find out how and where language teacher education is delivered. Clearly, for me, this was something that was quite easy to do because I'm fully immersed in it. Then we had to look at what forms of assessment and evaluation of students take place in these teacher education programs, followed by a reference to the quality assurance mechanisms that are in place. So this we all did back home in our own countries. We collected the material. Then using email, we shared this material, and then we worked in pairs. Each pair had to collate what the different countries said about each of those topics. So for instance, I was involved with, along with a partner from Amsterdam, with focusing on what's happening in the various member countries regarding assessment.
So you picked on one particular theme and you're addressing that, and then you would have other members of the group addressing other aspects, I suppose.
That's right, yes. The other members of the group are working on how language teacher education is defined in the various countries, what methods of delivery are present in the various countries, and the quality assurance mechanisms.
So we're talking about how teachers are taught to teach language, or how teachers teach language to students, or both?
The first. We have not yet, or rather the purpose was not to investigate or explore how language teaching takes place in schools.
Mm-hmm. So we're still at how the trainers are trained?
How teacher education is offered in the various countries in terms of delivery. For example, in Malta we've got two routes to teacher education. We've got the full route, which is a four-year BEd course, and then we've got a postgraduate certificate in education. So we've collated this information from the various member countries. So at a glance, when our work is finished, we have our report for the first year, which says, look, in the member countries, in terms of delivery, this is what we know. In terms of quality assurance mechanisms, this is what is in place.
Have you actually got to the stage of writing the report already, or haven't you reached that stage yet?
The report has been almost finalised as we speak. People are putting the finishing touches on it, and it has already reached the coordinators. It should be put on the website in the coming weeks.
What will happen when this information is collated and put together? What will be the next stage? Will you have another plenary to meet up and meet your other colleagues, or will you be continuing on a different theme?
Each of the subgroups meets once a year. We've had ours in January. We'll have another one in February of next year, 2009. And what we do then is talk about the work for the second year, which has already started, because as I said, the report for this year is basically, you know, done and dusted. Now we're on to the second bit, and we're looking at case studies. What we're doing is we're fishing around for case studies from the various countries, which we can look at, describe, analyze, audit, and collate a number of these, because they will eventually be included in the toolkit that LANQUA hopes to produce.
Just before we continue speaking about this issue of language, I'd just like to remind listeners that this is Research Matters, and I'm Patricia Camilleri, and I'm talking to Dr. Dorian Spiteri from the Department of Arts and Languages in Education. So, Dr. Spiteri, you were talking about the next stage, the case studies. How would the logistics work for something like that? Because I would imagine that it's quite a difficult task. A case study is something that needs a lot of planning, a lot of organisation.
The way this is going to be done is that two of the countries represented in our group are going to offer their own experience as a case study. There are various members in our group. We've got representatives from the UK, from Italy, from Turkey, Sweden, Spain, Latvia, the Netherlands, Portugal, Belgium, Greece, and obviously myself from Malta. And the idea is that from two different countries, we're going to focus on two separate case studies of initiatives or ways of doing things which are particularly interesting. They could be a new teacher education program that somebody has put up. And what's going to happen is that the people concerned will offer information about what they're doing in their country. And then the rest of us have shared out the work in terms of who will be evaluating these case studies, and then finally somebody to write up about these case studies.
From the point of view of which languages are we talking about, I know that the University of Southampton, which seems to have initiated this project, we're talking about language as far as English is concerned. Each country then obviously has its own national language. Does the project address this challenge of the languages of the different countries of the European Union? Where does sort of English fit in this?
In this scenario, English doesn't stand out because it is one of the many languages of the European Union. How I think this project is looking at language is from a very wide angle, so that it includes aspects such as intercultural communication, which are related to languages because language is culture, and a realization, a recognition of the fact that when we communicate in a language, we're also trying to communicate through cultures. Literature and culture is another sub-project, also because of the recognition of the fact that languages and culture are so intricately entwined.
I'm interested to know whether the languages we're talking about are just the individual native language, or whether there is any discussion at all about, because we spoke earlier about mobility. Talking about mobility obviously means that there has to be some sort of common way of communicating. So English, whether we like it or not, is going to sort of fill that mobility gap, if you like.
There isn't an accent on English as a lingua franca in this network, not at all. The idea is that members of the European community should be plurilingual, and the idea is to promote the learning of languages and do this in as best a way as possible and have quality assurance mechanisms factored into the language teaching and learning scene. There's no talk about, you know, supremacy of languages. The emphasis is more on let's make language learning more readily taken up by members of the European Union so that most people can speak two or three or possibly more languages.
This is an important point, because although we talk a lot about mobility, I gather that the percentage is something like 2% of our students actually do use the mobility programs, the potential students anyway, don't use the mobility programs as much as they could, probably because there is not enough emphasis given to plurilingual abilities within the European Union, leaving aside any English emphasis. I don't know, Maltese students might find it difficult to go to France because perhaps French or German are not languages that are given an enormous amount of importance in schools.
From the point of view of our students at the Faculty of Education, we do encourage students to go away and spend a semester in the country where the language that they plan to teach is spoken. And that's extremely beneficial to them. In fact, I wish it could be factored in to our course in a more structured way. With the BEd students, we can do this. With the PGC students, we simply cannot. The course is too short and crammed to allow for anything as useful as that. But we do have BEd students who go off to Spain, who go off to Germany, who go off to France, and come back after a semester and describe it as being a very beneficial and useful experience, both in their language development and both in their own development as young people. Because we do tend to have a tradition of not breaking up our years of education. We do not have a tradition of going away for some time and travelling or living in another country. We tend to move from one stage to the other.
As quickly as possible.
Secondary school, followed immediately by sixth form, followed immediately by university.
Within the project,
most of us have done, really, but yeah.
Within the project that you've been working on, can you see that there are any particular countries within the European Union who are very good at emphasising the importance of plurality in language teaching? Have you not reached that stage where you are able to analyse that kind of result?
We are focusing mainly on language provision in higher education. Whether there is a country which stands out in its efforts and its success at creating, as it were, school leavers who can speak more than one language, no name of a country readily comes to mind. Our focus on this Lengua network is languages in higher education, the quality of provision of languages. For instance, this group from Southampton who's coordinating this project, when I first got to know them some years ago, and I was quite interested in the documents they produced. That was also when I learned of the postgraduate certificates in academic practice, which has become very common in the UK, at least, which is the only country I know something about. Okay, the postgraduate certificate in academic practice is aimed at new university lecturers. The idea is that we need to recognise that when somebody becomes a university lecturer, you are not suddenly endowed with teaching skills. And you do need to go through a period where you learn how to teach and you learn teaching skills. So in the UK, most universities would require new lecturers while they are on a three-year probation to follow a postgraduate certificate in academic practice. In terms of length of this, it's equivalent to our 30 ECTSs, and they need to do this as they go along with their normal lecturing and administrative duties. But it is recognised that, you know, following various reports about the quality of teaching in higher education, it is recognised that lecturers benefit from specific inputs and developments in teaching in higher education institutions. That's when I first heard about the postgraduate certificates in academic practice.
Do you think here, talking about Malta just for a moment, has this project clarified in your own mind through the research that you've done what the situation is here in Malta?
While carrying out the work assigned to us for this year, for the first year, it did kind of throw up a few things, like, for instance, that as a country we do not have a spelt out definition of what language teacher education is. There isn't a document that actually specifies this is what Malta does in terms of language teacher education. It is a gap which is found also in other areas, unfortunately. But, you know, if this project then sort of throws some light on that in terms of, look, this, you know, this is something we need to work on, then I think that's already a benefit.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that could be done at the end of the day when you put everything together and the various documents, the deliverables are created, that they would then, you'd be able to sort of come back and it could be an influence on policy concerning this particular aspect of higher education.
Yes, which is one of the benefits when the University of Malta gets involved in various projects, because you have people who are in situations where they can have a say in the direction the various projects take.
You yourself, as a researcher, what do you feel that you are gaining from being in a project of this particular nature?
You learn at first hand what fellow colleagues in teacher education programs do on their teacher education programs. Yes, you can read about these matters, of course we do, but it is so interesting when, you know, once a year you have a meeting and you're sitting with like-minded people who do very similar things to you, but they do them differently. And you listen and you learn and you discuss. And, you know, in certain things you say, you know, we could be doing this. Or in other instances you say, they could be doing what we're doing. So it is fruitful in this respect.
And the fact that now the European Union, of course, is a much larger institution, that's larger than it used to be. The fact that we have new countries coming in. Has the project been able to involve countries from the, sort of the newer parts of the European Union?
Yes, for instance, in our subgroup, it's coordinated by somebody from Latvia. And I know that there is another subgroup that's being coordinated by someone from Romania. And Hungary usually also has a presence on very many networks. And in a way, there are similarities between Malta and the newly emerging countries, which are closer than we have with other countries who are possibly more developed than we are.
So I think it must be a very interesting aspect to look at the cultural differences within the European Union and see how they have perhaps affected attitudes towards, in your particular case, higher education institutions, language teaching. I'm sure it must be interesting to be able to sort of compare and contrast how things are done and try and analyse the reasons why they might be like that and whether it's opportune for us to look at one particular development or another.
Mm-hmm. Yes, as I say, it's a great opportunity when you talk to people firsthand rather than simply looking at descriptions of websites of how programs are conducted, how their teaching is carried out.
And where's the project going now? Which direction are you moving in?
Okay, this second year of the project is dedicated to the case studies, and eventually we'll be moving on also to collating a list of learning outcomes. And then in the third year, there needs to be a benchmark document which sets out kind of the minimum requirements for languages and the various aspects that I spoke about to have a level that is considered satisfactory by most. And these will act as benchmarks for people to match themselves up against.
Certainly a very valuable document, I'm sure. Time's run out. Thank you very, very much, Dr. Spiteri.
Thank you for having
me. Coming to talk to us about LANGUA, certainly an interesting language network project.
If you would like further details about the University of Malta's research projects or any other information, please access our website at www.um.edu.mt. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.